listening to It's All About Food on October 9, 2012. How are you today? I'm doing pretty well. It's that autumn thing going on here in New York, and it's beautiful. It's a little wet, but we like it. I wanted to mention again that it's time for The Real Appeal, Responsible Eating and Living, the nonprofit that I founded just a little more than a year ago, is having its fundraising month where we ask all of our supporters to help us out a little bit so that we can keep doing what we're doing. We've got lots of great videos, food shows, travel shows, all kinds of recipes. We keep adding new recipes almost daily. Lots of wonderful information up there, responsibleeatingandliving.com. Please visit, and visit often. Okay, do you know that according to LA Weekly, it's an article that just came out, it's calling 2012 the year of vegan cookbooks. And we just heard recently that vegan is mainstream in Los Angeles. This is all really, really good news. And the good news is the food is incredible, and it's just getting more and more incredible because we have great people coming up with great recipes, restaurants, cookbooks, etc. And now I'm going to be talking with Mark Reinfeld, who is the winner of Vegan.com's Recipe of the Year Award for 2011. He is the founding chef of the celebrated Blossoming Lotus Restaurant and is the award-winning author of Vegan Fusion World Cuisine and the co-author of The 30-Minute Vegan and The 30-Minute Vegan's Taste of the East. Welcome to It's All About Food, Mark.
Hey, Karen. Thank you so much for having me here.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for writing your latest cookbook, Taste of Europe.
Well, it was a joy to write it, so thanks for picking it up.
Yeah, I don't know about everyone, but I have my romance with Europe. I lived in the south of France for 4 years. I've traveled all over, and I love it there.
Yeah, it definitely strikes a chord in most of us here in America to go back to the old country.
And it always disturbs me a little bit when our American culture kind of gets in a little too much over there, because I really love the way some of the countries live to some extent. The architecture in many places is beautiful. The way they take their time, that whole slow food movement thing, making food beautiful, really caring about quality ingredients, I don't want to lose that.
Yeah, it's a very special place, and it's really good to experience it. So when you come back here, you could bring a little bit of it back into your everyday life.
And the great thing is that it can all be vegan.
Amen. it's surprising that now, like you mentioned, the year of the vegan cookbooks, it's just incredible how easy it is to create pretty much the full array of world cuisine in a world-class way that's using all plant-based products.
You know what, I'm just thinking of this right now, but it's sort of coming around full circle where when people were starting eating vegetarian, we looked towards ethnic foods because there were a lot of other countries that ate primarily plant-based, although they would add small amounts of meat or fish. But the food wasn't incredibly interesting, and now we've kind of come all the way around and we're going back to all of those other international cuisines outside of the United States and finding out how to do their best dishes vegan.
Yeah, I fully agree that if you do look at most indigenous cultures, that there essentially were a majority of the diets were plant-based and the animal products were more as a condiment. And so we go a step further and just show how the full spectrum of cuisine can be created with plant-based. And I love to use a lot of the ingredients that are local to the different countries and all the fresh herbs and vegetables that most of us are familiar with, and just combine them in a way to recreate these European classic dishes.
I want to talk about the challenge of promoting the vegan diet and promoting vegan food. Specifically, I think it's not just about presenting beautiful dishes and making varied dishes and making them taste good, but people that are coming to this diet are coming to it more for not just for tasty food. They're coming to it because they want to be healthy. They want to feel good. Some people have allergies. There's all these different issues. And it seems more of the cookbooks that I'm reading are taking all of these things into consideration. And in some ways, I don't want to say apologetically, it's just there are so many more parameters to keep in mind, not just taking out animal food, because the people that are attracted to these types of cookbooks are far more savvy about what they want in their food.
I feel that it's really a whole, this is like the whole being diet. It's where you're looking at not only satisfying all the tastes and flavors that you're looking for, but also having it nourish you on all these additional levels. So this kind of food is good for you, and it's also good for the planet. So you could, like John was mentioning, there's benefit upon benefit. There's the flavor that's amazing, and then you start looking at the health benefits, which are incredible, and then you see the ripple effect out into the environment and also just creating a more peaceful world here by relying on plants instead of animals for our sustenance.
I want to delve into the cookbook a little bit, but before I do, I wanted to ask you a few more questions. You did the food for Summerfest this summer?
I did. That was definitely one of the highlights of my culinary career. One of the largest vegetarian conferences in the world. It's a 5-day event held annually in Johnson, Pennsylvania. And it was three meals a day for over 700 to 800 people a day. So it was definitely a large scale operation.
I haven't been there in a few years, but one of the things that I noticed was the people attending were very particular about their food. They knew what they wanted, and they wanted a lot of it. These vegans could mow.
Yeah, it was definitely a discriminating crowd, to say the least. We had a gluten-free station, a raw station, an oil-free station, a pizza station, a hot bar, two salad bars. It was full on.
Mm-hmm. So that's part of what I was talking about with the challenges, because there are people that are looking for more than just food without animal products. Some want oil-free, some want salt-free, some want wheat-free, and it's quite a plate.
It's surprisingly easy. That's what the approach that I like to take is. I see myself as someone that really helps demystify the art of vegan food preparation. So many, more and more people are learning about vegan foods, what they are and what their benefits are. And I feel like my role is to demystify the how-to part through the cookbooks I write, and also I offer workshops and trainings around the country to just show people how easy it is to accommodate any dietary need that they might have.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now let's go to Europe. And
let's go.
Let's go. I want to go. So you start out talking about Italian food, then we go to France, we go to Spain, and then United Kingdom and Ireland and Germany and then a bunch of other countries, and everything is really incredible. So there's certainly a lot of Italian food in here, because they do make a lot of plant-based options naturally.
Yeah, that was I've done quite a bit of travel in Europe that began over 20 years ago, and I find that Italy was definitely one of the most vegan-friendly places to be. Well, and just, it was naturally a reliance on a lot of fresh vegetables and fresh herbs and just sauces for various pastas that were vegetable-based.
So here's a kind of bizarre way that I looked at food around Europe. I used to work as an engineer in the semiconductor industry. I did a lot of traveling, and I would visit different customer sites in different countries, in Italy, in France, in Scotland, and Germany. if I can remember all the places I've been. But the thing that stood out to me was the cafeteria food in the Italian companies was incredible, and it was so above and beyond everywhere else. So the tables would have mineral water and olive oil every table, and then
the
standard fare you could always get. This wasn't even the main entree of the day, but they would have shelves of room temperature grilled vegetables, the antipasto, so you could get eggplant or zucchini or just lovely grilled plain vegetables. They always had several sauces, like a marinara and something else. They always had plain rice and a pasta. It was beautiful, and it was real.
That's one thing you see is the cultural role that food plays also, and the emphasis on, like you mentioned earlier, about the slow food movement and just really taking the time to appreciate the gift that food is for us, and to really celebrate and honor the ritual of it, and really put a lot of mindfulness into it.
And then I have a specific romance with France, because I lived in the south of France for 4 years, and there's just some things. I learned so much there. I was a vegan when I lived there, and I learned a lot about food, not from eating it, just from looking at it, because I didn't eat much of the things that they served.
Yeah.
But the presentation.
Yeah, the markets and the gardens, and then another emphasis is the daily. If you notice, like, the refrigerators are usually a lot smaller over there, and it's because they're making these daily or every other day trips to the markets or little specialty stores to keep things fresh.
And people just seemed, it was just so, I don't know a better word than romantic. It was just so lovely, the care. I would have a friend, for example, she would just wrap up a little sachet of lavender for me just as a little gift. And then the tisanes, people would be drinking just a light tea sometimes with thyme. So simple.
Right. Yep.
Anyway.
It's a beautiful
thing
to experience.
And you mentioned the cliche of a woman walking with a baguette. You see that all the time still today. People go to the bakery.
Yeah, the past definitely comes alive over there. It's really an amazing experience, just because it's still a Western culture, which I love world travel. I've been traveling for over 20 years, and going to other Western nations, there's still a lot of similarities, and yet you see these little differences that make a big impact on the quality of the day.
Right. I just want to underline what you just said, because it really is important. These places, they're like states in the United States. They're not large.
Right.
And yet they really have very unique different flavors and styles and presentation, and I just want to keep that. We just have a few more minutes. I wanted to touch on, I appreciate you wrote in the Spain section. Now, I haven't been to Spain very often, but I always had a terrible time eating there. I spent a lot of the 90s in Europe, and I know things have really changed in the last 10 years with vegetarian and vegan food all over Europe. But you talk about being aware of a Spanish tortilla is really an omelet with eggs in it. I didn't know that.
Really, yeah, that's a subtle, not so subtle surprise if you order a tortilla and you get scrambled, an omelet instead of what we're accustomed to.
Mm-hmm. And you have a recipe for bangers and mash, which is pretty popular in, I've seen it in Scotland, actually, and I had a vegan version when I was in Edinburgh once.
Right, that's with mashed potatoes, and I use vegan sausage, and then this really nice gravy that is served, and it's, again, the effort was to do a full spectrum of recipes that touch on a lot of the classics that people are familiar with, as well as introducing new recipes that just utilize the regional ingredients.
Right. There's just so many really yummy things in here that I really am looking forward to trying. You know, nobody can say that vegan food is boring.
No, I also give out free recipes on our website for people that want to check that out as well. We have a newsletter where I send out free recipes and more info on the vegan lifestyle and classes and workshops and things like that.
And what's
just
that website?
To demonstrate.
That's veganfusion.com?
Yeah, it's at veganfusion.com. And just in keeping with what John was saying, just really emphasizing the imperative nature of looking at how we grow food and what we're eating as a way to really affect incredible positive change on the planet. So, again, my role is to help show people how amazing the food could taste. And if people are looking for a virtual tour of Europe, they'll find it in the recipes of Taste of Europe.
Yeah, I definitely agree. You have some praise at the beginning of your cookbook, and I just wanted to ask, is Cher a vegan?
I am not sure of what her current lifestyle choice is, but I did a couple of private chef gigs for her in California, a very amazing woman.
Wow, good for you. Mm-hmm. Seems
that
like
was
you've,
fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've been all around. I spent a little time in Germany, and I was in Munich, but in a very small part of Munich, and I was near a small market, not where any of the major ones were, and I practically lived on cabbage, potatoes, and onions for 2 months.
Mm. Right. Germany was more of the challenging, one of the more challenging countries to come up with recipes, though, again, with how vegan analog products have come so far that you can, there are these meat alternatives that are not necessarily health foods, but helpful in people transitioning away from animal products. So I like to, there's a lot of wurst, like bratwurst, and I like to say that it's the aptly named wurst, because they're really not very good for you, those products. So the plant-based alternatives are a lot better way to go.
And the other thing is beer. I love to see that you use beer in some of your recipes. I like cooking sometimes with beer and wine, especially if I want to keep something oil-free.
Yeah, I enjoyed working with the various beers and wines in this book, and one of my former chef at the Lotus and close friend Patrick Bremser did a full section on wine and beer pairing for vegan foods, which is an interesting topic in itself.
Can you talk a little bit about when you give a training class, what that's like?
Sure. I love showing people how easy it is to create these world-class meals. And lately I do weekend workshops and 10-day trainings in Hawaii and on the West Coast. And I have some events planned on the East Coast and in Europe as well. And basically it's like whatever your skill or confidence level is, I can show you these really simple techniques that are very empowering for people, so that they find, even after a 10-day training, that their skill level and confidence level has just gone to totally new levels. It's amazing to watch the transformation in people feeling that they could take their health back into their own hands and prepare these life-giving foods for themselves and their family.
Yeah, I'm always telling people to find their kitchens. We all
right,
have,
that's a most, good place to start.
I mean,
well,
most of us have
the,
them, but don't
yeah,
use them very often.
You see the role that food plays, especially when you travel, that it really is one of the main things that unites humanity is food and the ritual of eating. And so my feeling is that if we could bring consciousness and awareness into how we partake of that fundamental human activity, that it will have this ripple effect into all other aspects of our lives.
I like that. I like that very much.
Yeah.
So what's next for you? Are you going to another continent?
I actually have an event planned in Belize in December. I do these vegan culinary tours where I go with small groups of people and we experience the local culture and prepare foods together. So Belize is coming up in December, and then I'll be returning to Europe next summer. And also I'm working on the next 30-minute vegan books, which will be 30-minute vegan soups and stews, which will have over 125 recipes from around the world of different soups and stews and condiments that go with them.
Now, let's just talk about the 30-minute vegan concept just for 30 seconds.
Okay.
I know people have very busy lives, and they're kind of daunted by cooking because they think it takes a long time. And so there are a number of cookbooks today that want to stress that it's quick to make most of these meals. And to some extent, when you have a skill, you can put a meal together relatively quickly. But
that was the guiding principle for coming up with this, the idea of the 30-minute vegan. Most people can wrap their mind around spending a half hour getting a meal together. So I just designed the recipes in a way that really goes back to like these simple basic techniques that create a lot of flavor but don't take too much time in the kitchen. So virtually all the recipes, you can create these gourmet quality meals in less than 30 minutes.
It's good, but people still have to get their feet wet, and there's a certain amount of organization involved. You talk a little bit about it in your book. People have to be thinking ahead, because you can't just open the book and get started. Most people, if they're just new to this, they don't have any of the right ingredients in their refrigerator or in their cupboards, and they may not have the right tools. In everything in life, it takes organization,
planning. Baby steps, and I think the first thing is just a willingness and an awareness that it's a direction that you want to go in your life. And then it's really, I guess, if I had to sum it up, I would say it's a lot simpler than people think it is.
Mark, I wanted to thank you. We're at the end of the program, and I want to thank you for joining me on It's All About Food. I said I was living in the south of France earlier, and one of the things that I loved was the fields where all of the herbs would just grow naturally, and you could walk through them, and the sun would bake on them, and the fragrance was just intoxicating. And so I thought, just as a nice way to end the show, I've done quite a bit of singing, and I have a piece that is going to play from a French composer, Duparc, who wrote a song called Fidèle, and it talks in French just about those things, about the clover and the thyme and the sunlight and the warm fragrance around the paths. And so that's how we're going to end the show today. Thank you for joining me, Mark Reinfeld. Taste of Europe. Go to veganfusion.com. And I'm Karen Hartglass. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the show.